This evening, I'd like us to consider this very well-known account of the Syro-Phoenician woman, recorded in both Mark and Matthew's Gospel. She is known as the Syro-Phoenician woman. She is a Canaanite, and therefore a Gentile, not a Jew. And it's important that we retain that thought in our mind as our Lord is seeking to deal with her. What do we see by way of introduction here? Well, in Mark 7, verse 24, we read, "He," that's the Lord Jesus, "entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." I never cease to be amazed at the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who made the world, he who with his word created all things from nothing, sought anonymity. Staggering, isn't it? He who went around doing good seeks to go into a house unobserved, unnoticed. What condescension. Jesus tried to keep himself away at this time from public gaze. But listen, Mark 7:25 says this, "For a certain woman," and I thank God there's no name given, "a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." Now you begin to see the picture. This woman is in incredible need. She has simply heard of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Not in its entirety, but just in part. And I would say this. This, to me, represents one of the most touching spectacles in the whole of Scripture. What can be more pathetic? What can be more heart-rending than a mother whose daughter is grievously sick? It tugs at the heartstrings, doesn't it? This is not sentimentality, this is reality. And surely, those of us who've had dealings with God through the Lord Jesus Christ would say this, surely such a situation would reach the heart of the Lord Jesus. We know that, don't we? Sympathy and compassion are his very nature. He is the God of love. He is the one who did all things well, who went around doing good, touching the leper, raising the dead, feeding the thousands. Surely, surely this dear woman coming in all her need into the presence of the very Son of God would affect his heart to such a degree that he would immediately listen to her request. Did he not say, "Him, or her for that matter, that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out"? Well, look at the lady. Let's look for a few moments at this lady. She is in great need. And she has a need which she cannot solve herself. And she has a need which none other than the Lord Jesus Christ can solve. She has a demon-possessed daughter. But further, in her mind, clearly, she has come to the only one whom she honestly and genuinely believes can do her good in this dreadful situation. She's come to the right person. She has come, seemingly, for the right reason. And this woman really has a great and felt need. Well, then, let me give you two considerations. Let us firstly consider this heart-rending approach to the Son of God. And to see that as an illustration of this woman's great faith. And then secondly, to see how the Lord Jesus deals with her. For the principles he applies here are just the same as he applies to every generation of Christians. Well, then, you imagine the scene. Jesus was a Jew. He came unto the Jews. In John 1, chapter 1, verse 11, we read, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." What had happened to the Gentiles? Well, God had given them up. He'd given them up long ago. Remember the Tower of Babel. The Gentiles had no rights whatsoever before God. So this woman is at a distinct disadvantage, in one sense, before she comes. So she has this other obstacle to overcome. She's a Gentile. And she's coming to the Son of David, the Son of God, who came to the Jews. Romans 1, verses 28 says this, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which are not convenient." She was a Gentile. Jesus was a Jew. And as such, she had no rights whatsoever to claim upon the Son of God. So here's the background. Very quick, cursory introduction. Now let us look at her faith. Firstly, she comes to Jesus. True faith is always focused in the Son of God, on nothing else. Not works, not efforts, not attainments. Faith in Christ alone. That's living faith, vital faith. A Gentile coming to a Jew. Well, what drove her to this situation? Her great and felt need. Well, how do we see her faith? She opens her mouth, but Jesus seems to have closed ears. It's amazing, isn't it? You, those of us who are Christians can't comprehend this fully, but we know after the event because we know this is Scripture. But it's as if the Lord is turning a deaf ear to her prayers. But Lord, she's in great need. But Lord, she's come to the right person. So far, she's done everything right. Lord, she's speaking ever so tenderly. She is addressing you in a very reverent way. She is not as one of the leaders of the Jews, a hypocrite. She is sincere. It's heartfelt. This is a felt need. She is very urgent in her pleas. "Have mercy on me. O Lord, thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." You remember when blind Bartimaeus? "Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." What did he do? He stopped. And commentator said this: blind Bartimaeus stopped the Son of Righteousness in his tracks. This lady didn't seem to do that. What else do we see? "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." In verse 23 of chapter 15, Matthew, we read this. It's the first of three buts. "But he answered her not a word." Do you not find that surprising? My friend, have you and I been in prayer about an issue? Perhaps for a long, long time. We prayed. And we prayed. And the heavens seem as a sounding brass. And yet we pray on. And we can get to the situation where we say, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." And yet we pray on. And no answer seems to come. You see, the principles are the same. "He answered her not a word." Are you surprised? My friends, do you and I have great needs? Have you and I prayed? Can it be that he thus far has answered us not a word on certain issues we prayed about? Notice, not a word. Not even a go away. Not even wait, not a word. Utter and total silence. And sometimes, you know, the silences of God are more telling than when God speaks, aren't they? Well, what's the first lesson here of our faith? It is this. Faith, true faith, believes even when God does not answer. She believed Jesus was able. She believed he had the power to do more than she was asking, but he answers her not a word. And yet, faith will not be put off. But he answered her not a word. I'm sure this is how Job felt when he cried, "Though he slay me," in chapter 13, "yet will I trust him." Where he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, I would order my case." And this, as you read the lives of godly men, is fine, is the common experience, that God sometimes hides himself. He withdraws himself, not to, as it were, cause us to be distressed, but to cause us to seek after him and to learn the value of faith and the value of prayer. And this poor woman, all her need so far has been, as it were, ignored, put off. She has done all the right things. And notice too, we see in this the first of three buts. Let me put it this way. Faith believes in God even when it seems darkest. You know, we talk about, are you walking with God and enjoying the sunshine of his smile? That's relatively easy to rejoice in God, isn't it? But when God seems to be, as it were, his back upon us. Didn't the psalmist say, "When I thought of God, I was troubled"? Yes, you can be troubled when you think of God. So faith believes even in the darkness when all seems to be hopeless and lost. Yes, even when the Lord remains silent. And then let me say this. Her faith could not be silenced by the disciples. Listen to them, verse 23. "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us." That was not true. She was not crying after the disciples, but after the Lord Jesus. And I say this, Christians, be very careful how you treat perplexed believers. Do not add to their burdens. I have to say, over the years, I've heard such amazingly dreadful advice given to poor, struggling Christians by well-intentioned Christians, but it's been the wrong advice. And I said this, there are so few Christians who can give serious spiritual advice and who have spiritual discernment in able to deal with troubled souls. It's very rare, very rare. Our forefathers, read the works of the Puritans, were masters at it. Today we live in a quick fix society, even within the church. And what happens when poor troubled souls come to the pastor, many pastors, send them away to see a psychiatrist. That's what they do. Dreadful. So the disciples don't treat this dear lady well. She's getting no response there. Her noise annoyed them. Her presence there annoyed them. And yet she kept persevering. But notice they said, "She crieth after us." It was not true. No, none but Christ will satisfy. And in questions of faith, there's nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ will satisfy. They could not help, but thank God Jesus could. But he remained silent. As an aside, how important we Christians sometimes think we are. Truly. All the subtle pride that comes to the fore. Sometimes we think we're indispensable for the gospel. It is the gospel itself, not in Christians. And notice now the second but. Verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And notice this, I don't believe he's speaking to the lady here, he's speaking to the disciples. In a sense, she's still being ignored. Now, can you imagine the picture? Imagine, if I might reverently say this, our Lord is here in this meeting. There's the lady, there's all the masses around pressing him. And there she's before him on her knees. But being ignored by the disciples, go away. And when he speaks, it's as if she's not there. I'm speaking to the disciples. She's a problem, say the disciples. Send her away. Send her away. And how often can Christians be very bad witnesses to the gospel itself? Send her away. You have the same picture, of course, when the mothers of Salem brought their children, and he was much displeased. And dare I say this, did these disciples have any care or concern for a daughter's soul? It would appear not. John the disciple, the gospel, the disciple of love, send her away. Peter, whose mother was soon to be healed, cried, send her away. How heartless we Christians can be. I say this, in matters of dealing with tender-hearted Christians who are perplexed and in trouble, be very careful what you say. May your counsel be God-sought. May it be spiritual. May it be appropriate and not some trite response. Look again at this woman, burdened with a grievously vexed daughter, seemingly rebuked and rebuffed by the Lord Jesus, now rejected by the disciples. But things go from bad to worse. Then Jesus speaks, and he says this, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Her heart may have said, I'm a Gentile. I'm a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician. I have no right to claim to him. What can I do? What was Jesus really doing here? Well, I think the answer may be this. He was indeed driving home a lesson, a very solemn lesson to her. And this woman had to learn it. It was this. This woman had no right nor claim upon the Lord Jesus. You know, I believe this, and you may think this might be somewhat severe. One of the tasks and privileges of the preacher is to bring men to despair. Not to false confidence, but to despair. That man in and of himself is hopeless. He can do nothing. He's dead. He cannot seek God. He cannot turn to God. And the idea that we have today, this easy belief in this antinomian sort of mentality, which somehow says this semi-Pelagian view that somehow said there is in man some inherent ability to turn to God. It's a lie. He's altogether dead. And part of the ministry, I believe, is to bring men to an awareness that in and of themselves they can do nothing. Salvation is all of grace. And I think the Lord is very gently bringing this fact home to this lady. I'm not sent for you. The woman had to learn this. And in her heart, it may that she was thinking this, my case is hopeless. If I'm not one of those who is talking of, but I'm a Gentile, what hope is there for me? Do I have any right whatsoever to expect any blessing from him? Her case seems hopeless, ignored, rejected, rebuffed. What can she do? What does faith do? Verse 25, we see this. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. If nothing else, will reach the heart of Jesus, this will. Notice firstly the word worshipped. And this after she has seemingly been rebuked. This is, if you wish, faith in action. It's as though God is turning his hands against us and we still want to, as it were, do the right thing. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Though he not answer my prayer for many a year, I'll continue praying. That's faith, isn't it? Isn't that faith? Where is it today? It's a very strong word. Literally, it means falling down, prostrating oneself. Falling at the feet, she begs his help. But notice this. Secondly, this woman could not be off by what I would put off rather by what I would say is exclusive doctrine. There is a hyper-Calvinistic doctrine, isn't there? She wasn't put off. Are you one of the elect? Didn't enter her mind. She came to Jesus as she was. Jesus said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But I'm a Gentile. I have no rights. How must this dear woman have felt at that word? We talk of election, do we not? Rightly so. It's a stumbling block to many. Many poor seekers may have said, can there be any mercy for me? How can I be sure? And this poor woman could not be put off by this hard teaching, this election doctrine. Thank God the gospel is free. Free to all. None need be excluded. And this dear woman, thank God, would not be put off. Here, if you wish, is faith in wonderful action. Surely Jesus will hear her now. But verse 26, we see the third, or hear the third of three buts. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I've never been called a dog. And I think a word of explanation is required here. I don't believe this is one of those vicious curs that you read in the epistles, beware of dogs. I don't think it's that. I think it more relates to a little doggy who sits under the table waiting for crumbs from its master. I was with one today. I have a little dog who's similarly disposed. Whenever I eat, she sits by me. She loves me. I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to the tribe of Israel, not to the little dogs. And she may have been offended. We're not told. I don't think she was. But here's the wonderful truth. She will still not be put off. Faith laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. How did Jesus mean here by the dog? As I simply touched, not the wild, vicious dogs, not curs, but rather a dog, a little doggy, a softer term. And here, if you wish, in this account, is the first hint of compassion from the Lord. It was there all the time, but he was hiding it. He speaks of casting the children's food to dogs. Has she been offended? Has she been put off? Is she angry? Not at all. Notice her amazing reply. Truth, Lord. Truth. All that you say is true. She agrees. And this is another aspect of faith. It always agrees with God. Faith never disagrees with God, even when things run contrary to us. Remember when David was convicted of his adultery by Nathan, how he took it? That's the heart of the Christian. Faith never disputes with God. God can do no wrong, even if it runs contrary to me. That's faith. And this woman is exhibiting such a great faith. Truth, Lord. And notice how she turns what seemed to be a discouragement into a positive. Yet, even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What faith? Lord, in other words, I'm willing just to have the crumbs, But your crumbs, as it were, if I could say that reverently, are so wonderful that they will more than meet the need I have. Something else is implied here in the words of our Lord, but he said, it is not meat. It's not right. It's not becoming. It's not proper to take the children's food and to give it to these little dogs. And it seemed as if he was pouring scorn over her to make it her situation harder, to dampen her hope. But she can't be quenched. This is the wonder of faith, isn't it? This is the faith that overcomes the world, isn't it? What's the lesson? It is this. Real faith centered in and upon the Lord Jesus Christ will never be put off. Impossible. We may doubt, but faith remains. And notice her wonderful plea, yea, Lord, even the dogs. Yet even the dogs. See here an amazing truth. She had faith both in his love and in his power, even though she has been rebutted at least three times. What did she want from the Lord Jesus Christ? Why had she come? Her daughter had a demon. How greatly she must have appreciated the power of the Lord Jesus. The crumbs, just the crumbs, were sufficient to meet all her need. Oh, what power is in him. Whatever your need, dear brethren, here tonight, I know that matters not how vast or big it may be. Even the crumbs from the Lord are more than able to meet all your need. In him, what glory dwells. The crumbs were in fact Christ's power to cast out the demons. And I believe this woman obviously believed Christ had the power. She'd come to the right person. She'd addressed him in a very reverential way. She was not put off with his seeming objections. He was just simply drawing out her faith. And thank God that's what he does with us, isn't it? How dreadful it would be, dear brethren, if we got everything we asked for, when we asked for it. Faith. Mighty faith. May I ask you, as I must ask myself, how do you and I pray? How do you and I pray? Are you easily put off by God's seeming non-answers? Do you give up? I have three beloved children. I love them dearly. Precious. 47, nearly 46 and 44. Prayed for almost every day without exception. Not saved. What can I do? Do I give up? You pray on. You pray on. And though God seems to delay, you pray on. And notice this, by way of this woman's response, true faith never, never, ever disputes with God. But he answered not a word. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She answers not one word of objection. And even the disciples ask him to send her away. She is put off. She is seemingly ignored. And Jesus appears to want nothing to do with her, seemingly. It seems a hopeless and a lost case. But what do we see? Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him. Lord, help me. What faith. Isn't faith glorious? Isn't it? Think of what faith does with God. Worshipped him. And dare I say this? I think I can say this. Such is this woman's love of the Lord Jesus. Such is this woman's faith that even if she went away without her prayer being answered and her daughter was not healed, she would still love him. It's true, isn't it? Worshipped him in spite of his apparently ignoring her. We might worship if we were always to get what we wanted. We might worship if we receive what we ask for. But to worship God when we seem to be ignored and seemingly forgotten, perhaps for a long time, that is faith indeed. Again, faith pleads but never disputes with God. Not even against the hardest things that Jesus may say. And genuine faith accepts and believes everything the Lord says, whether discouraging or encouraging. She never raises a but. Our Lord raises three buts. She never raises one but. She never even raises an if or a yet. Not one. But notice this. And this is the characteristic of true faith. True faith always agrees with everything the Lord says, without exception. What does she say? Truth, Lord. Imagine that. Now, all the time this debate is going on, this poor woman's daughter is vexed with the devil. And yet here she is, as it were, in this meeting with the Son of God, pleading for her daughter, seemingly ignored, seemingly rejected by the disciples, and her daughter is grievously vexed all the time. I know I'm a Gentile. I know I'm a heathen. I know I'm a non-Jew. Yes, I may be called a dog. You have ignored me. You have seemingly put me off. But truth, Lord, I won't go away. But woman, it's not your time. You're not one of my elect. You're not one of my children. Truth, Lord. Lord, she says, I hear everything you say. I cannot disagree with anything you say. Yes, I am a dog. I am a nobody. But here, Lord, I'll worship you. I'll continue to worship you, whatever you say. Have you ever seen such faith? What an amazing faith. My dear friends, there's someone here this evening, you're having a hard time. You know, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones said this, and it was never more true. If you have never found it hard to pray, it is proof positive you have never prayed. If you have never found it hard to pray, it is proof positive you have never prayed. Was this woman's prayer easy or difficult? Lord, I accept all you say, but I worship you. If I go away here this evening with my prayers unanswered, I will not change in my love to you, nor my prayer for you, nor my trust in you. Remember what Job said? Shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil? But I say this, woman's faith is even greater. She does not ask for any alterations in our Lord's dealings with her. She wants nothing changed. She wants nothing altered. Listen to her. She is called a dog. She says, truth, Lord, I am a dog. Yet the dogs will eat the crumbs. She does not ask to be treated as one of the children. Simply as a dog. Truth, Lord. And how amazing, she takes the words of our Lord Jesus' own mouth and uses them as an argument for faith. And this is what faith does. Faith, in a very reverential way, uses the very word of God to come back and to reason with God. That's true faith. And how amazing, she simply takes the words from the mouth of our Lord Jesus and begins to use them as an argument for her prayer. I could go on illustrating in so many other ways, but dear brethren, let me close with this woman's faith. No sooner has she fallen on her knees and worshipped him, than what happens? Verse 28. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What hour? The very hour when she was seen to be put off. The very hour when our Lord said, but, that hour. What an amazing thing faith is. And who knows, dear brethren, those very things you and I have been praying for so long, and as yet have not received the answer, may yet be so soon in coming. Their faith was rewarded. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And she simply went home and saw the answer to her faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Now let me just close with this, dear friends. How did she come to that little meeting? Expectant? I'm sure she didn't expect to be dealt with in the way she was by our Saviour. But oh, how masterful he was. Oh, how wonderfully he dealt with her. And this woman is a lesson to us all. I say again, have you been praying? No answers yet. Pray on. Pray on. Never despair. Has Jesus seemingly ignored you? Pray on. Don't give up. This woman is an intercessor. My friends, we must pray. If we don't pray for those who are our concern, who will? Are you tempted to leave off from prayer and say, well, I've given up? Never, ever, ever. It may be hard. It may be difficult. Prayer is never easy. But all what answers God sends us in answers to prayer. I say this woman's faith, what a great faith. What a lesson. What an encouragement. She came despairing. She went home rejoicing.